Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, dearly beloved, during this Lenten season, we have heard our Lord's call to intensify our struggles against sin. He has called us to holy living by removing all that prevents us from trusting in Him and from loving one another. Since it is our intention to receive God's word faithfully and to receive the Lord's Supper this evening, as on the night when the Lord instituted it, it is proper that we complete our Lenten discipline by examining ourselves, as St. Paul urges us to do. As we examine our lives, we do so, knowing that God offers special comfort to those who are troubled by sin and who turn to Him for mercy. For He richly forgives those who confess their sins, who fear His wrath, and who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Would you please stand as you're able? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I will go to the altar of God, for He is my exceeding joy. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Let us confess our sins to God, our Father. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, on the night of your betrayal, you showed your disciples your servant heart. As you washed their feet, you so commanded them to love one another. Grant that we may so follow in your example and trust in your mercy. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Our Old Testament reading for this evening comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. The Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, This is the covenant that I will make with them, after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? The Holy Gospel according to St. John at the 19th chapter. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord and the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people and the courts of the house of the Lord. In your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You may be seated. Well, dearly beloved, this evening, as we celebrate Maundy Thursday, we are also going to be wrapping up our sermon series on our wounded Savior. You know, traditionally, Maundy Thursday is always set aside by the church as a day to celebrate and remember the institution of the Lord's Supper. For it was, of course, on that Holy Thursday, that evening before Jesus is betrayed and crucified, when he takes up the bread with his disciples and says, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you." And again, taking the cup and saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Well, on the commemoration of this holy day, then, dear friends, I want us to look a little deeper together at the pierced side of Jesus. And I want us to find a bridge between the Last Supper and the gospel reading which we read just a moment ago, where Jesus' side is pierced through, and out came flowing an abundance of blood and water. And to be quite honest, seeing a connection between these two passages is actually nothing new or unusual. In fact, our early church fathers have routinely drawn such connections. And the church for centuries has had artwork depicting the connection between these two events. There's some beautiful images that you can find online where Jesus' side is pierced. And out from the gash flows two streams, one of water and one of blood. In fact, more than just a stream, for this is not a trickle you find, but rather it is a river that is being poured forth. The floodgates have been opened, and you can watch as the river of water floods into a baptismal font. And the other, a river of blood, you can see as it is being poured forth and being collected into a chalice for us to partake. The Apostle Paul says later to the Corinthian church, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ?" When Jesus says, "This is my blood," we know not how it is, but we do know that it is, and we confess that it is, for God is truly present. And we do not know that this is the blood of the one who died for us for the forgiveness of sins. We do know that the wine that we drink at the Lord's table is the blood of the one from whose side flowed forth both blood and water upon the cross. Dear friends, our sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper were founded in the very heart of God. That spear which thrust through Christ's side, it pierced all the way unto his heart. And like a floodgate now opened, his heart of love pours out grace and mercy in the form of blood and water. Two rivers come carrying to us this evening the blessing of Jesus' death and resurrection. As we come to the waters of baptism, and as we come to the communion rail where Christ's blood comes, they come to us bringing these blessed gifts for the forgiveness of sins, for life, and for salvation. When we come to the communion rail in faith, the riches of God become ours. God invites us to feast upon him for life and strength. And God comes to give himself to you. For as Paul says, we become inheritors of God. We become God's chosen people, and he becomes our God. I find it so interesting that, properly speaking, of everything we have, it is said that we are only stewards. Everything we have on earth, from our houses to our clothes to our food and cars, it's all spoken as if it were on loan to us. For properly speaking, God alone is the owner of all good things. He is the maker, and he has simply entrusted to each of us all that we have today, entrusting to us so that we may use it for his kingdom's sake and for the benefit and well-being of our neighbors. But again, everything is on loan. We can't take it with us. Our house, family, belongings, even our own lives and health are on loan. Except, dear friends, as Paul says, God is ours. He is my Lord and my Savior, and he is not on loan to me, but he is mine eternally so. In the waters of baptism, God becomes my Father. In the Lord's Supper, through faith, does God pour out his Holy Spirit upon me. He gives me his own flesh and blood. His gifts and calling are irrevocable as he continues to come to you in his body and blood, in the bread and wine. He comes strengthening you in your faith to eternal life. None of these spiritual gifts are on loan to you, beloved. Rather, when you grab hold of them with the hands of faith, they are yours eternally in Christ Jesus. He who pours out his blood for you on the cross, and he who delivers to you his body and blood to eat and drink, has poured out his heart towards you. And as Scripture says, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His love for you is eternal and strong, unchanging and flowing like a mighty river from his pierced heart. It's been well said, that which is most dear to a person, they carry it in their hearts. If you were to look inside a man's heart, you will find that which they love the most. Well, dear friends, on the cross, Jesus' heart is pierced open for us. The spear, like a giant lance, has opened wide his side, making a heavenly window through which you and I may look through this evening. For this was not a minor incision into our Lord, nor was this like a pinprick upon his heart. For we remember, after the resurrection, how Jesus comes to Thomas, literally saying, "Thrust your hand into my side." This was not a minor scrape, but rather this is a mighty opening in which you and I may peer into today. We are invited to see what the Lord holds most dear in his heart. To see what the Lord loves most with that great and infinite love. Well, as we just said, dear friends, it was, of course, blood and water which Jesus held so near and dear to him. But I want us to look at that in another way. For blood and water are simply just two means through which God uses to cleanse and redeem his people. See what Jesus held in his heart. A cleansing flood of water whereby he washes sinners clean from all spot and wrinkle. Every sin is removed in this purifying flood that flows freely from his side. What Christ held so dear to him, holding it even in his own heart, is a mighty flood through which he drowns the sins of his people. There is a mighty flood of water which washes away all guilt and shame, and it hides them both away in its watery grave forever. And see again in Christ's heart, a river of blood freely being poured forth for the redemption of man. Because Jesus not only washes us clean from the guilt of sin, but he redeems us from the power of sin. Through his death and blood, Paul says that the curse of the law has been removed from us. There has been made satisfaction for the law. Its demands have been satisfied completely. And washed in the blood of the Lamb do the saints now stand before heaven's throne. And today do they sing of the redemption by blood. For Christ, by a river of blood, has purchased us from the power of the devil, and he has removed the law's curse from us. Dear friends, these two rivers of life and salvation two rivers of washing and deliverance is what Jesus held so near and dear to his heart. For there wasn't a greater work in heaven that he desired to do more than to cleanse and redeem you in full. And notice again how this cleansing flood was found in him even after, as an act of cruelty, man crucified him and pierced him through with a spear. Christ still held most dear to his heart a desire to cleanse and redeem humanity even after he was rejected, beaten, and crucified by man. Christ's life work was to save, redeem, cleanse, and pardon a special people unto himself. On the eve of his death, he is still giving himself to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, and this is my blood." And here we see, as through a window into his heart, just how earnest and passionate that life's work was to him, that it was held in his heart. The heart of Christ was pierced through, and yet, dear friends, see what flowed from his side by way of contrast. For indeed, we see that it was not a blaze of fire. There doesn't flash forth judgment, nor a thundering roll of lightning. There doesn't go forth from his side a plague of death that consumes those who persecuted him. Rather than a flood of judgment, there is a flood of grace. For there gushes forth a fountain of blood and water. There's a flood of life, dear friends. This is a flood of eternal and everlasting life in Christ. And I want to close by just briefly bridging Christ's pierced side to two other Bible passages as well. We just connected Jesus' pierced side to the Last Supper. And I want to just quickly do similar to two other Old Testament passages as well. Because honestly, it's hard to preach on this text without bringing these up. Because if I neglect to say them, I'm going to be kicking myself all night, having deprived you of such beautiful images of this. For first, we know the creation story of Adam and Eve. Eve was, of course, taken from the side of Adam. And from his side did God create her, and she found her life. And so is that a picture of us, dear friends? See the new Adam as he hangs on the tree. See the new Adam who, like the first, was put in a deep sleep. That is a sleep of death. And from his side, from where the spear was thrust, was Christ's bride taken. From Christ's side is the church born, and do we find life this evening? We today, as the church of God, have come from the side and heart of Jesus, who shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins. We, the church, have come from his side, wherein he has said, "You are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." And lastly, we see the second image of Christ's side as well. For on a few occasions, Scripture speaks of Christ as being that rock in the wilderness. You're again familiar with that rock which was struck by Moses, which from forth flowed out living water for the Israelites to drink. Well, here again, Christ is struck. And he is pierced through with a mighty spear, pouring out a great flood, and leaving, as it were, a great cleft in the rock. And today, do we still have that beloved hymn which goes, "Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be to sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. Dear friends, see all the ways in which the pierced side of Jesus acts as a gate of heaven. Blessings and graces are poured forth from Christ's heart directly to the earth in the form of blood and water. Hebrews teaches us that we gain access to God through the tearing of the veil. And again, it reiterates it for us, saying that the veil is his flesh. Through the side of Christ, the floodgates of heaven are open to us. His death is to us a source of all life and peace. And as we prepare now to receive the blood of Christ this evening, may we do so ever confident of the Lord's great love and of his never-ending grace towards us. Seeing the blood flow that Good Friday, we can be certain that the Lord means for us only good. For his blood flowed freely. It was shed while we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And it flowed, a life-giving flood, to all who believe in him. Amen. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Would you now please stand and join me in a word of prayer? Gracious Lord, as you gathered your disciples in the upper room, so do you continue to gather us to hear your word and to sing your praise. We pray that you would come to us this evening in your spirit of life and power. Grant us faith to love and trust you more in all of our life's doings. Give us assurance that in you we are redeemed. In you we are loved and protected by your mighty and serving hands. We ask that you would keep us firm in this faith, that we may find comfort and peace. And while struggles and trials befall us, lead us to trust in you alone, to trust in your promises, your will, and in your life-giving name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And loving God, as you came to this world to serve mankind, you served and loved us to the end. Even after you were rejected, condemned, and crucified, still you poured out a life-giving flood of life and salvation in the form of water and blood. It was while we were sinners that you died for us, and you will continue to love and serve us into all eternity. As we journey throughout life, lead us in faith to know that in mercy you have washed us clean and continue to wash us daily. Lead us to repent of sin and to walk in righteousness. May we follow in the example of Christ to love our neighbors as you have loved us. And teach us to be generous with our time, resources, and all other gifts that you have entrusted to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of all compassion, with a new command, you have sent us out into the world to love our fellow brothers and sisters. Lead us to fulfill what Paul commands, to love all people, and especially those of the household of faith. Bring your church together in all joy and peace. Break down all that separates us, that we may love one another as you have loved us. Bring us into communion, that we should share all things with those among us who are in need. And we ask that you would open our hearts and our eyes to see the ways in which we can best serve your children. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
And great physician, We pray that you continue to grant life, strength, and well-being to your people. As is pleasing to your holy will, sustain your people and all the people of the world in both body and soul. For those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, we pray that they can find comfort in your gospel truth. For those who are feeling alone, we pray that you would bring them closer to you and with the opportunity to talk and share with others. For people who are feeling sick or hurting or recovering from all other ailments of life, we lift them also to your loving care. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And lastly, God of life, we pray that you would continue to lead your church and to lead pastors to be proclaimers of your truth. Guide your servants to be faithful in word and deed. Use your church as a beacon of light and as a mouthpiece to share your gospel. May we all participate and be used as instruments to bring your blessing to the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Today we celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion, and here our Heavenly Father promises anew his unconditional love, renews his pledge of forgiveness in Christ, and offers his Holy Spirit a strength for daily faith and life. However, since God reminds us that thoughtless and faithless reception of the sacrament can incur his judgment, the scriptures call those who commune to personally examine themselves and in their communing confess that we are baptized Christian, and that we trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we are sinners in need of God's forgiveness, that we believe that Christ is truly present with his body and blood under the bread and wine, offering us forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, and that through his grace and strength, we will live to God's glory and in the ministry and fellowship with his people, and in mission to the world. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who accomplished the salvation of mankind by the tree of the cross, that where death arose, their life also might rise again, and that the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden might likewise by the tree of the cross be overcome. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "A drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from my words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And I cry by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. And you are fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. And you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breasts. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name by my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All your offspring of Jacob, glorify him, and stand in awe of him, all your offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him, and shall be told of the Lord in the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it.